Spring training is here, and the free Odyssey app has everything you need to get ready for opening day. In-depth team coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Exclusive interviews with players, managers, and MLB insiders. And podcasts dedicated to your favorite team. Listen live to the latest breaking news from around the league, or choose from a list of topics and listen on demand. Baseball lives right here on the free Odyssey app.
When the whole family comes together to watch the game, nobody wants to miss a second of the action to run to the grocery store. With Instacart, you can get all your weekly groceries in as fast as an hour. Less time shopping means more game time. Let's go. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you so much to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. People listening on the free Odyssey app, your local CBS Sports Radio affiliate, SiriusXM channel 158. People listening on a smart speaker. People leaving work. Going to work, but just relaxing. Nothing wrong with relaxing either. I'm going to be hanging out with you for one more hour. I get started every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. So whether you happen to be on the East Coast, the West Coast, somewhere in between both, or over an ocean, or over a border, thank you for listening. Really, much love. The phone number here is 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. You can also find me. I'm online. I'm on the internet. I exist. I'm everywhere. I am at JR Sport Brief. We've had a fun show so far, taking a look at college basketball and having a guest in with John Crispin from Westwood One, covers March Madness, covers and calls the games. Nice to discuss with him as I stand here in the studio. North Carolina leads Miami 72-70. Selection Sunday goes down on March 17th, and there's going to be a lot of folks who really turn an eye towards college basketball, as it is every single time of the year. The NFL holding its NFL Combine this week. We're going to talk about the Combine momentarily. We talked about Cam Newton, unfortunately, with this video that went viral yesterday, Cam Newton getting into it with some other coaches at a youth football camp. And we haven't heard from Cam Newton yet. I know that we will. It's been reported that Cam Newton was talking trash to some of the coaches, and they decided to try to put some paws on him. And we discussed that right before we went to break. We talked about Andy Reid. Looks like the Kansas City Chiefs are going to make him the highest paid coach in the NFL. We talked about NFL running backs. They're not highly paid. In a general sense, yes, they are. I only make $10, $11 million. But running backs, it's been reported that none of the running backs who got tagged last year with the franchise won't receive that franchise tag again. No Saquon, no Josh Jacobs, no Austin Eckler, no Tony Pollard. Doesn't look like that will be the case this year. You want to talk to me, 855-212-4CBS. Thank you so much to super producer and host Ryan Hickey for holding it down in New York City on the boards. Let's go ahead and pick up the phones, and then I want to talk to you about the Combine, because you might be disappointed if you're looking to sit down this week and see some stars. And stars of the Combine? Well, the top picks, I should say. It doesn't look like they're the only guys who might not show up. Let's talk to Uncle Charlie. Uncle Charlie is calling from Florida. He's not my uncle. That's just his name. You're on CBS Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Oh, man, I thought Cody and Nana thought you were still at 10 o'clock.
I'm sorry.
I thought Cody and Nana thought you were still at 10 o'clock.
It's 10 o'clock. I've been here for 2 months with this new spot, Charlie.
Oh, because like, that guy called, he was confused. He's about confused at the whole church. Anyway, what I'm calling for is for Cam Newton, and I want to talk about Rose Wilson. Cam Newton, he just need to grow up. I think he's a little boy and he grow up. Russell Wilson, the only thing he got going for him is that beautiful chocolate wife of his. You have a good night, Jay. I love you, man.
Okay. said that is Hickey. Who did he say was more confused than a what in church, a whore in church? Interesting. Interesting. I didn't know what the hell you. I just think that guy is confused. Whoever the hell he was. You know what they say? Isn't there like an entire, I don't want to say a meme. Isn't Florida man a running thing? Like when a news story starts off, Florida man, you know something wild is going to happen?
When you have a term named after you, yes. Absolutely.
Florida, I think they might, I need to Google that. I think there might be a website that just says Florida man. And I don't think it ever starts off with anything good. So thank you so much, Charlie, for adding to the Florida man theme. 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. Since we've been talking about the combine, earlier today we learned that there are going to be some top prospects who are not going to participate. They're not going to show up. They're not going to run. They're not going to jump. We don't have confirmation as to whether or not they're going to sit down and take meetings, or we can pretty much be held for sure that if they do anything, it's going to be on their own time at their universities for pro day. And so Caleb Williams, don't expect to see him running a 40. Marvin Harrison Jr., don't expect him to go out there and try to show off how high he can jump. And Jaden Daniels, don't expect him to try to show everybody how accurate of a passer he is. They are not going to be participating in this year's NFL Combine. And the NFL has really stretched this out over the past several years, the past several seasons, over the past decade, you know, televising the majority of the Combine, you know, trying to make it must-watch and must-see TV, because it's the NFL. Everything is about money. How can we monetize it? How can we get peak interest? Except for the NFL, on the back end, what we don't see publicly is pretty janky. I'm sure you've heard about the process, players getting asked ridiculous questions about their families, sometimes their mothers, just so the coaches can see how they'll respond in I guess, odd circumstances. Let's listen to this. Rich Eisen spoke with David Njoku and Mike Williams, tight end receiver, and they were just detailing some of the weird questions that they were asked during the NFL draft process. Listen to this.
I walk into like the meeting, the formal meeting. I'm trying to shake someone's hand. They're like, no, just sit down. But I sit down and it's completely like, you know, silent for maybe like 30 seconds. And the coach asked me, where does the sun rise and where does the sun set? So I answer that and it's quiet again for like another 10 seconds. And then he's like, all right, so let's look at this play.
Mike Williams of Clemson football.
Somebody I know, they say they got a question like, how would you kill somebody? Would you use a gun or a knife?
What? Say what? Are you serious?
I wouldn't know how to answer that.
Yeah,
I told them I'd say I wouldn't kill nobody.
That's right.
I wouldn't be in that city. Yeah,
maybe that's maybe that's the answer they're looking for. Like, give peace a chance.
How would you kill someone? Like, what, huh? Hickey, I think I'm going to put that into my my future line of questioning the next time I interview someone. Would that be okay?
John Crispin, before we get to court sorting, first question, gun, knife, how'd you kill someone? How'd you go down?
Yeah. inappropriate in regards to anything. It's just because the NFL makes billions of dollars, that means that they could just do anything? I guess it's private. I mean, this is an exclusive club, an exclusive group. The players don't have long careers. If you want to get in and make your money, you got to, quote unquote, you know, swallow your pride, swallow however you feel, and go through this process. Is it wholly unnecessary? I don't think so. There legitimately are hundreds of players who want to be in the NFL, and they need to prove their worth. They need to show that this is who they are. And we're going to have questions about hand size and IQ. Now, this is all manipulation for business to kill some of the prospects, to bring some of their value down, to maybe hope that another team doesn't draft the guy. It's just, it's a nasty business. It's a nasty world, but it is how it is. And I don't see anything ever changing. It's just so bad that today on the NFL on NBC, Mike Florio basically said, it's not just star players, future star players, potentially star players in the NFL, who don't want to show up to the NFL combine. Mike Florio extended it to the people who would actually, I don't know, have some influence in coaching them. The coaches, listen.
Now there's a handful of guys who aren't going to the scouting combine. Sean McVay said last week he's not going. Matt LaFleur of the Packers. Packers confirmed he's not going. Mike McCarthy, the Cowboys, isn't going. Robert Saleh isn't going, although I'm now told he might make a cameo appearance late in the week. Kyle Shanahan not expected to attend either. He's one of the first ones to skip it.
Hey, Hickey, why the hell would Rob Saleh not show up? Like, what is he? He doesn't want to upset Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers said, hey, I need you at home to wash my car. Like, what happened?
Don't even look at any of the quarterbacks there, Robert.
it's funny. And because it doesn't make sense. If I'm an NFL head coach, and I heard what Josh Hart of the New York Knicks had to say about Indianapolis. But if I'm an NFL head coach, why the hell do I want to go out to Indianapolis to do what? To sit in the stands for 3 days and look at everybody? Like, what the hell am I paying my staff for? Let my staff figure out who the top prospect is and then show me the film. You know, outside a little bit of FaceTime, what difference does it make to try to figure any of this stuff out? So the NFL trying to big up the scouting combine, the top players don't want to go. The top coaches, or most of the coaches, don't want to go. And so at what point do we just utilize the pro day? Combine is just here for the NFL to make money. 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. Hickey, is this another Florida man?
No, thankfully we are good right now with the Florida men.
Okay. Mike is here from California. You're on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you doing, JR?
I'm excellent. What's going on with you?
Hey, so I was listening to another show earlier today, and they're talking about, you know, what can be done about fans, you know, rushing the floor. So injuries like, you know, the player Duke suffered.
Kyle Filipowski.
Yes, Filipowski. And so... You know, I was just, you know, thinking of things because I work, you know, in high school and safety and so forth. But having some type of disclaimer on their tickets, you know, kind of reminding them of their, you know, they're choosing to do such a thing, you know, either maliciously or inadvertently, you know, that they would be, you know, liable. And also maybe having the PEA announcer say something, you know, towards the end of games just to, you know, reiterate that fact, you know, and no, it's not going to stop everything, but at least they do their due diligence with safety and, you know, announcing, you know, that criminal charges could be charged, you know, put on somebody for that.
What for you think that's going to stop, I don't know, 300 people?
No, not at all. I don't think it's going to stop them, but at least, you know, they've been forewarned and it may limit, you know, the number of people that do things like that, or they may be more careful of, you know, running into other players and or other staff, you know, that are on the courts.
I don't know if humans work that way, man. I think in a lot of cases that we as people, whether you happen to be a toddler, you're told, hey, don't touch the stove, don't touch this. You're basically asking the kid to do it. And so I think in encouraging college students, hey, if we win this game, don't storm the court. I think you're encouraging it at the same time. You're basically daring people. Look, so we know this. People are always going to break the rules. But when you have an opportunity to break the rules in mass, I think it's already thrilling for people to rush onto the court. I think you're providing a little bit more of a thrill, if not so much a dare to people just to show up and do what you don't want them to, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
What do I know? I don't want you. You said you work in security. I don't. I'm a delinquent. So maybe I know. I don't know.
No, you're absolutely right. People will just make you know, emotional decisions right on the bat, even if they've been forewarned. I'm just thinking from, you know, an ownership or, you know, a liability side from them to say, hey, you know, hey, you were warned, and you know, if they end up, you know, taking somebody, you know, they were warned, and now, you know, these criminal charges are going to be pressed, you know, against this person. So, like I said, like you said, it's not going to prevent these things from happening. It may even, you know, like you said, challenge them to do something. But, you know, from an ownership and liability side, it's, you know, for their protection as well.
Absolutely. Understood. Now that part I can get with, Mike. And thank you for calling from Florida.
Thank you.
No California. Doubt about it. Yeah, thank you, Mike, from California, opposite side of the country. Yeah, I get it. It's just people are, we're human, right? People break rules. It's just what it is. Did you run a stop sign? You broke a rule. Were you speeding? You broke a rule. And I heard about what happened with Richard Sherman. I said, Richard Sherman arrested for DUI. And whatever's going on with Richard, I hope it gets better. This is his second incident over the past couple of years. Just terrible, and could be terrible for what could happen with somebody else on the road. So whatever's going on with Richard Sherman, I hope he gets better. But the fact of the matter is, people are imperfect. And when you start challenging people, and specifically in sports, there are people who run onto the field, run onto the court, streaking, okay? They know they're going to get arrested. It don't stop them. And these are one or two people that may jump onto a field full of, I don't know, anywhere from 30 to 100,000 people, and they still do it. And so if that's an incentive to stop somebody from, you know, jumping onto the field, running onto the court, what else can you do besides arrest somebody? We can't give people the death penalty for this stuff. We can't. I don't know. It's like poking the bear. It's I wouldn't touch that. 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. The NFL Combine looks like a waste of time for some coaches. NFL Combine looks like a waste of time for the top players. We know that there are tons of players trying to make their mark, improve their draft stock, and get some bread, get some money, and then try to leave before the NFL kicks them out. One of the top players in the NFL, he's looking for money. He has some conditions, but then it's also being reported that he might end up elsewhere. I'll tell you who it is. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Don't move.
Your fever is high and the pressure to log in at work is too. But when you finally decide to take care of you, there's Instacart. Just because that one perfect coworker of yours is attending all meetings, camera on while she's sneezing, coughing, and aching, doesn't mean you have to do the same. Take it from us. Trying to stay on top of things will only get you further behind. Instead, get everything from tissues and teas to cough suppressants and comforting soups delivered through Instacart in as fast as 30 minutes. If anyone needs anything, they can just redirect their questions to that one perfect coworker of yours.
Spring training is here, and the free Odyssey app has everything you need to get ready for opening day. In-depth team coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country, exclusive interviews with players, managers, and MLB insiders, and podcasts dedicated to your favorite team. Listen live to the latest breaking news from around the league, or choose from a list of topics and listen on demand. Baseball lives right here on the free Odyssey app.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, congratulations. I remember this person. Did they email me? Hey, email me, jrsportbrief@gmail.com. Try to help any way I can. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. You know, before we went to break, we talked about Andy Reid getting his, well, working on a contract extension with the Kansas City Chiefs. Talked about Cam Newton, Russell Wilson. Money makes the world go round. And then somebody called and asked us about how to stop students from storming basketball courts. And I'm like, hey, it doesn't matter. You're not going to stop everything. Everything is always about money. It's difficult. And speaking of money, this is wild. This is the NFL. Anything can happen. You know, for the past several weeks, we've talked about wide receiver Justin Jefferson of the Minnesota Vikings. He's been very clear about wanting to play with Kirk Cousins, who's a free agent. Justin Jefferson is going to be playing this fifth year, on his fifth-year option, where he's only going to make about $19 million, $20 million a year. And Justin Jefferson, when healthy, is one of the most electric wide receivers in the entire game. Flat, period, nothing else to be said. Now, having said that, he wants to be paid like it. They haven't come to terms on a contract extension. The NFL salary cap is going up a whole hell of a lot this upcoming season. And so what does that mean? If you're in contract negotiations, you know that there's going to be more money to be spent. You already want to be probably the highest paid wide receiver in the game. We know Tyreek Hill just took that mantle at $30 million per with the Miami Dolphins. There's been talks now that Justin Jefferson might be a trade candidate. That if they can't come to an agreement with Justin Jefferson on a contract extension past his fifth-year option, that they're going to just say, no, thank you. We're going to move on. There could be a reality that Minnesota doesn't have Kirk Cousins and does not have Justin Jefferson. During Super Bowl media week and chatting it up and running around on Radio Row, Justin Jefferson, he sat down with Zach Gelb, who precedes my show. He basically said, oh, yeah, I want to be a Viking.
I definitely am ready to you know, sit down with them and sign a piece of paper and, you know, label me as one of the top paid in the game. So at the end of the day, I'm just playing football. No matter where I'm at, no matter who I'm playing for, I'm going to give it my all out there on that field, and I will continue to play the game of football, which I know. So it doesn't matter, you know, who's going to be throwing me the football or, you know, who would I have on my front and my back. I will always, you know, give the game all that I have.
Yeah, but he prefers Kirk Cousins, and I think I know why. It's because a couple of seasons ago, Kirk Cousins helped him become the offensive player of the year. Period. That's it. And so that's why we now have this report, especially with the spike cap. We can thank Mr. Jordan Schultz for sharing with us. No surprise. He wants to be the highest paid wide receiver in the entire game. Listen to this.
He wants to reset the market, right? And Tyreek Hill is basically making $30 million a year. So if you're Justin Jefferson, you want to get a little bit more than that. You want to get, let's say, 30.05 or something along the lines that's going to push you above Tyreek Hill's number, reset the market, and make you the highest paid wide receiver in football at over $30 million per year. There's also the fact that Minnesota is going to have to guarantee, I would say, at least two, maybe the first 3 years for Justin Jefferson. Now, this is not something typically that the Vikings do in their contract structure. However, they gave Kirk Cousins 3 years fully guaranteed to begin his contract. They gave TJ Hockenson the first two. So if you're Justin Jefferson, I would imagine you want to get the same type of love that Kirk Cousins got, the first 3 years fully guaranteed, in addition to the $30+ million per season that allows you to reset the wide receiver market, eclipse Tyreek Hill's number, and become the highest paid receiver in the NFL.
All of this is good. All of this is great for the players, for the star player, for someone like Justin Jefferson, who's going to get paid. It doesn't matter where he goes or what he does. He's going to get that cash. But if you're the Minnesota Vikings and you have to figure out what or who is going to be your quarterback, do you want to pay a wide receiver? And God bless him. We know that this man is on a Hall of Fame trajectory if he could stay healthy. This past season, he had to deal with a hamstring issue. He had to deal with a chest issue. And I know a wide receiver is not a running back. But do you want to invest that much money into a dude, a guy, and you don't know who's throwing him the ball? That's a tricky one. I mean, the Kansas City Chiefs basically said no to Tyreek Hill because Tyreek Hill just wanted to get paid more than anybody else, and he got it. And he's talking about Tua Tagovailoa and how great of a passer he is. Well, he looks great as a passer until he's freezing cold outside. Doesn't seem to bother Patrick Mahomes too much. And so, yeah, money makes the world go round. But if I'm the Vikings and I'm not certain that I'm going to bring back a quarterback, I don't want to say wide receivers are a dime a dozen. Hall of Fame caliber wide receivers are a dime a dozen. The quarterback's most important. Justin Jefferson, if you trade him, are you sending shockwaves through your fan base? Are you scaring the living hell out of them? I want to think more about this. From a business perspective, probably not good. A fan perspective, not good to trade them. Business, I wouldn't care. If you can't find somebody to throw him the ball, what does it matter? 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4CBS. Kevin, he's here from Oregon. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, JR. Really like your show. Enjoy listening to a truck driver, so I hear a lot of radio. And I just called in to say I thought Cam Newton showed some class in that camp. I've done a lot of kids, you know, umpiring and sports and refereeing, and it ain't easy. And to see those parents trying to take him on, I thought was wrong.
I'm confused. We don't know the details of what's taking place. I don't think he was attacked by parents. It appears that he was attacked by coaches that he used to work with, coaches that used to be on his team and coaches who are now on an opposing team. Those coaches said that he pretty much instigated an argument and that he taunted them and talked crap to them. Is that an excuse and a reason to go around and try to beat the hell out of Cam Newton? I don't think so. But I think in any case, if this happens to be true, if you talk crap, correct me if I'm wrong, you got to be prepared to back it up.
That's true. That's true. If you say it, you better be able to hold your own. And I that wasn't the understanding I had, but I appreciate your information, JR. That makes it even stronger case for Cam.
A stronger case that he backed what up? Well, that he defended. He wasn't defending himself against parents. I mean, the way you described it made it sound like Cam Newton, some kid said something crazy to Cam Newton, and Cam Newton said something crazy to the kid, and the parent then went to attack Cam Newton. That's not what happened. Reported.
Okay, it was a coach. It was the coaches at the camp with him.
Yes. This appears to be strictly between coaches. And unfortunately, if you go by what the coaches say, we haven't heard from Cam Newton. The coaches have said that he was just taunting them incessantly, as well as the students, or the athletes, I should say.
Okay, well, I didn't know that Cam had been taunting the coaches.
Reportedly. What we only have one side of the story. And what we're going to get, and thank you, Kevin, for calling from Oregon. Appreciate the kind words. What we have to wait to do is hear from Cam Newton, because Cam Newton is going to speak, all right? He's going to sit down and do it on his podcast. He's going to sit down and do it with Brandon Marshall. They're going to tell everybody what happened. He's going to paint the picture. He's going to say that this is something that I always do and that I'm giving back. And then we go from there. I'll be surprised if Cam Newton says, hey, I was wrong, or that I would do this different. And I don't know the circumstances. Maybe he didn't do anything. Maybe these two guys are lying. I have no idea. What I do know is that over time, over plenty of time, Cam Newton has proven to be, you know, controversial. We've seen this guy cussing out kids, telling kids that he's rich. Like, why even engage? 855-212-4CBS. Keith is calling from Baltimore.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. How are you this evening?
I'm excellent. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for asking. You know, I wanted to weigh in on the quarterback as opposed to maybe a split end, you know. And you gave a couple of examples, and I think the latest example is Mahomes. He didn't have any future Hall of Famers or any All Pros, and they won the Super Bowl. The last time any other quarterback did that was Tom Brady. And then when he got with the Bucks, he had real good wideouts, and he won the Super Bowl again. I think those guys are exceptional. Tua and Jalen Hurts they didn't resemble the quarterbacks that they were in college until they got split ends like they had in college. Both of them had six first-round split ends to throw to at Alabama. And look at what they look like now. They look like, you know, all-pro quarterbacks with guys on the wideout. And I think that's the majority of the quarterbacks in the NFL. They need wideouts. Lamar Jackson, he was MVP this year with some wideouts. He was MVP before without those wideouts, but it was more him running than anything else. I think you need somebody to throw the ball to.
Yeah, I think everybody would say you need somebody to throw the ball to. Everybody you throw the ball to doesn't necessarily have to be a Hall of Famer. What I will say is this. If you have to think about the financial investment that you want to put into your roster, it doesn't matter how high the salary cap has risen. Do you want to just pay a guy for 4 years and say, hey, here's $35 million while we figure out who's going to be throwing you the ball? That's a waste to me. Because
I think that's a great example, because I think that's exactly where the Chicago Bears are this year. They've wasted the rookie salary of Fields, and now they have to make a decision. Are they going to do the same thing again with Caleb Williams, as opposed to, and they keep saying, he could get Marvin Harrison Jr., and then he could turn around at nine, and they can get somebody who could block for Justin
but
Fields.
Here's the thing. You have an idea of what Justin Fields is. Regardless of who has been around him, regardless of who they have given him, who's protecting him, whether or not he's had DJ Moore for a year and a half, two, or the entirety of his career, the fact is you have an idea of who and what he is. And now you got to pay him big money. And you still don't have a clear idea on what his potential can max out to be. Where you can go ahead and reset your salary cap by bringing in a cheaper quarterback who apparently has a higher upside, as opposed to just saying, here, this quarterback is going to be better because he has a better wide receiver. I can look at someone like Zach Wilson, who plays for the New York Jets, soon to be former New York Jet. I mean, he had one of the best wide receivers and route runners in the entire NFL, and he could still throw the ball to the opposition. And so it's either one of two things. And thank you, Keith, for calling from Baltimore. When it comes to QBs, you got it or you don't. Of course, a wide receiver is going to help you out if he's a Hall of Fame wide receiver, a Pro Bowl wide receiver. Of course, they're going to help. But if you don't have it by yourself, then what does it matter? You know, yeah, it'd be nice to keep Justin Jefferson around if you're the Minnesota Vikings. But if you don't have clarity at the position, you're going to be chasing that around for a while. But you know what? The Minnesota Vikings, they may not have a choice but to keep him around just to placate the fans. They may not have a choice to keep him around just so they have a offensive option. And they may have this top wide receiver, and they may be suffering at the QB position, especially if they don't keep Cousins. Well, this also might be a whole lot of nothing. They may end up keeping both of them. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. When we come back on the other side of the break, I want to tell you about something that took place this day in sports, and it involves the Dallas Cowboys. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. If you have a brewski, do it responsibly. Have a couple responsibly. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Let's go ahead and hit the phone lines up. And then I want to tell you about something that took place this day in sports in 1989. 855-212-4CBS. Let's go to Buffalo, New York, and talk to Johnny. Hey, Johnny, you're on CBS Sports Radio, the JR Sport Brief Show.
Hey, JR, what's going on, man? How are you tonight?
I'm good. What's up?
Oh, not much. Well, 1989 is a good year, man. That's when I was born, so I can't wait to hear what happened then. But you know, I'm just calling to talk a little bit about the paying quarterbacks versus paying receiver thing. You know, you don't have a receiver unless you got a quarterback, and you don't have a team, and you're not going to have long-term success unless you've got that quarterback. I mean, we know better here in Buffalo than anybody about not having a quarterback. We didn't have one for the whole entire drought when we went 17 years without making the playoffs. And we finally made it with Tyrod Taylor, and that was a good story. We finally made the playoffs, broke the drought. But listen, without Josh Allen, this team's nothing, man. Even like nothing. And we know that. There's other than Mahomes and Burrow, there's really no other team that any team would trade for Josh Allen, right? And love to have Josh Allen as their quarterback. But you can't go and pay Justin Jefferson an exorbitant amount of money with an average quarterback. The teams that make the playoffs and continue to make it year after year are the teams who are locked in at quarterback. And, you know, I heard you talking about the Bears and Justin Fields not too long ago. They would be absolutely stupid to keep Fields around, pay him any amount of money on his, you know, non-rookie contract, and not reset that. Like, you've got a guy in here who looks every part of Patrick Mahomes and Caleb Williams. You can still add another weapon at number 9, I think they're picking, and build from there. But you got to take a shot on the guy who can be the next guy, because Fields, after being here for how long, isn't him.
Yeah, I agree with you, Johnny. It all boils down to the QB, and thank you so much for calling from Buffalo, New York. Yeah, it's tricky to throw that money out there. One thing that it's tough to kind of placate fans and keep them happy. Because imagine being a Minnesota Vikings fan and then one day Kirk Cousins is gone. And we know coming off of the injury, I don't think it's a shock or a surprise. Everything that we hear about his Achilles is all positive. It's great. He's ahead of schedule. I don't think it's a shock that at the NFL honors, he was doing a little two-step on the stage to show everybody that he was A-OK. But if you don't have Cousins and you don't have Justin Jefferson, what are people buying tickets for? That's it. I think from a football perspective, I think it's very, very clear that it'd be stupid to pay Justin Jefferson. But this is a business. I mean, you have to sell, I don't want to say future nostalgia, but you want to sell attachment. You want people to go, oh my God, Justin Jefferson is a Viking. That's our guy. It's a tough sell. From a football reason, I can't see about paying him. But from a business perspective outside of the team, man, people keep legends around. The New York Yankees, I mean, they don't, not so much recently, but they bring in big names. They want to sell you on not just right now. They want to sell you on the past. They want to sell you on the history. They want to sell you on Aaron Judge breaking more records. That's just how it goes, really. 855-212-4CBS. But you know what? Speaking of history, on this day in history, 1989, February 26th, Jerry Jones bought the Cowboys, officially had the Cowboys for a few days. It didn't take Jerry Jones long to fire Tom Landry, who was there for almost 30 years. And in speaking to CBS Texas, you're going to hear Jerry Jones describe it, and then you're going to hear Tom Landry not sound too thrilled about it. This is what took place on February 26, 1989. Jerry Jones officially telling Tom Landry, "You gone."
Jerry Jones bought the Dallas Cowboys 30 years ago today, now the most valuable sports franchise in the world.
But he says he does have some regrets, including a big one that happened the day he bought the team.
Right from the get-go, I would have done the Tom Landry thing differently.
When it's all over with, you know, the things you're going to remember are not the Super Bowls. You know, you're going to remember the players. You're going to remember the situations that you went through.
I really felt that the reason I was buying the team was because of the respect that I had for Tom Landry and the respect that I had for Tex Fram and specifically as it would relate to the Dallas Cowboys. That didn't come across that way, obviously.
There will be nobody with the Cowboys that doesn't give as big a piece of them, or we don't want them with the Cowboys. A man that is going to be with the Cowboys is Jimmy Johnson.
We made the change there. It came across as being disrespectful. It came across as being cold. rather than I was enthusiastic at a time when you're not supposed to be enthusiastic.
It's very, very sad. It's tough when you break a relationship that we've had for 29 years.
Damn. Jerry Jones, and that's that whole clip from CBS was from a few years ago. And as we all know, Jerry Jones didn't last all that long with Jimmy Johnson either, even though they won two championships. I guess Jared Jones just always thought it was about Jared. Hey, Hickey, you think he's mellowed out more over the years? Like, he's more mellow and kindler and gentler, right? Or is he still, I don't know, pushing? Well, he's still pushing buttons. He pushing those buttons for Mike McCarthy, but what does Mike McCarthy want him?
It's like ironic. It's almost the opposite now. Like, he was too trigger happy before, and now it's like he's almost like not quick on the trigger enough, where Jason Garrett was around for far too long. A lot of people, including myself, thought Mike McCarthy would be fired this past season, coming back in 2024. He has done a 180.
Yeah, it's just wild to me how even in this case, he still pushes buttons. Like, yeah, he kept Jason Garrett the clapper. They called him the clapper. He kept him around for too long. And in the case of Mike McCarthy, he still has him around. But I feel like even throughout his entire tenure, he's treated Mike McCarthy like a punching bag. Like, hey, by the way, Dan Quinn is upstairs. Well, Dan Quinn is now in Washington. Well, oh, yeah, well, now you're on an expiring contract. So please beware. If you don't win, I'm going to fire you. It's just this is the environment that he creates. And I don't think it's no shock that, yeah, they've had success, and they had success with Jimmy Johnson, but then his own ego got in the way. Unfortunately, is he at the age and the stage of life where he's going to stop or slow down his ego? I'm not so sure. And I don't care how much his son is helping to, run the franchise. So that day in history, this day in history, 1989, Jerry Jones pretty much said to Tom Landry, thank you, but no thank you. I'm in here, and your time is done. You've been listening to the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. I will be back with you tomorrow. When? 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. If you've missed a minute of today's show, you can always hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. Okay? You can find me online as well at JR Sport Brief. Thank you so much to super producer and host Ryan Hickey, and thank you to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. The JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. It's a wrap, but don't move. Coming up next is Bart Winkler. Thank you, Hickey.
I'm Tony, and this is the Tony Kornheiser Show. Wow, that makes it sound a bit more serious than it really is. So what exactly is the show about? It's been almost 30 years, and I still don't know. Right now, we have some of the best voices in football come on to explain to us what we need to know in the college and pro world. And we get weekly picks from a monkey. Do you really need more than that? I might just tell you about my bunker game and the latest failed entry in my quest to find the best coffee ice cream. No schmutz, please. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.